grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god.
Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy. The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Izoco, the ultimate destination for specialized pike and muskie enthusiasts. Discover hand-picked, high-quality gear carefully curated for your fishing needs. Explore their website for top-tier offerings, from high-performance setups to finely crafted baits. Izoco offers an unparalleled experience. Join their vibrant community in-store or online to elevate your pike and muskie adventures. Visit izoco.com today and gear up for fishing excellence. This episode is also proudly sponsored by Angling Sports in London, Ontario, Canada, supplying anglers for over 30 years. With an unparalleled dedication to fishing enthusiasts, they offer a wide array of musky fishing, trolling, and casting rods suitable for all expertise levels. Whether you're a novice or an experienced angler, Angling Sports delivers everything from entry-level to high-end products and consistently introduces cutting-edge products like custom bait makers. Immersed in the muskie community, actively engaged in tournaments, and fostering alliances with organizations, Angling Sports enhances your fishing odyssey. Dive into the excitement and prepare for your next fishing expedition with top-tier gear available at anglingsports.ca. So, Frank, another full moon Friday is upon us, and today we catch up with arguably one of your best fishing, one of the best fishing trips in a long time. Some epic moments and some epic catches. The tone of the podcast we had before, or kind of during that trip live on the water there, was a bit, was a bit reserved. The tone was, the expectations were there, but there's always that thought in the back of your mind that you're not going to fulfill or meet those. And not only did you go to meet them, but you smashed them. And I think today the listeners are going to want to hear if that spinning washing machine stops. They're going to want to hear the story.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it. The story.
Okay, keep talking.
About, how that happened and what are, obviously some of the key patterns, tactics, strategies that led to those successes. Before we get into that, and before the 18 people leave your house...
That's okay. I shut the door. We're good to go. Keep going.
So before we get into that, Frank, I think, let's take a little time to introduce what we heard in the intro. It's a new sponsor that we probably partner with, Angling Sports, located in London, Ontario, Canada. So why don't you give us a bit of intro on that?
Holy, I haven't run that fast since high school. Okay. Yeah. You know what? It all ties in. Everything you said and even Angling Sports. Honestly, Chris, my best season as a muskie angler, finished it super strong. It's not even done yet. We still got 5 days, and who knows what's going to happen. But Angling Sports, thanks to them. When we were making this deal, I actually went up to their store in London. We have a jiu-jitsu affiliate store up there. And so I'm always up back and forth to London and in St. Thomas and stuff. So I went over to check the shop out because, we're going to be in a partnership with somebody like this, and we want to get to know them and see their operation and make sure that, we like to use the products, right? When we're partners with someone, we like to stand by, what they're doing and the kind of people they are. And I think you hinted in your intro there that Angling Sports, I'll get into the store in a second, it's crazy, but these guys support the industry. And one of the reasons that we found them was through Dave Gray, and they're big supporters of the Musky Brawl, and they're big supporters of ours now. And so I think that's a really special thing when you get an actor in the space that understands the culture. These guys, John and the ownership group there, these guys, they fish, they're musky guys. Yeah. They're I think multi-species guys.
We should also note that they just cater to all species. When you go to their website, if you're trout fishing, if you're bass, walleye, whatever you want, they have. So they're not just specializing in musky, but they're definitely integrated into that musky culture community, like you mentioned, with the musky brother.
The store is like massive. Like it's a huge, huge store and it's like, it's everything. So like if you never went fishing and it doesn't matter what you're fishing for, you could literally go in that store and buy everything from your boots to your clothes, to your net, to your rod, to your lures. Like everything. It's like,
it's one of those stores that when you go in, you just get excited, right?
You get excited and you get stressed because you know it's going to hurt. You know, like you walk in and you see 100 things you want right away. And, you know, I went in there, I walked out with a Dakota. I've wanted a Dakota forever. And that's what I was going to tie in with what you said. You know, I was really stoked to get my Dakota and put it on my brand new Chaos rod. Like I have my new rig this year and just went out with it and slayed. But the store is awesome. I was, you know, before I knew it, I was trying on clothes and really good baits. Like the other thing is too, you know, if you go to a Bass Pro, you're going to see a bunch of musky baits that are like really not what a lot of us are looking for. Like you'll see like the Medusas in there and like the odd really great bait that you can get at a Bass Pro place. But, you know, you'll see really cool custom baits in Angling Sports. And then you'll see like the brands that you're used to ordering online that are sort of like niche baits almost, but they're the baits everybody wants. Like, It's just great. It's worth the drive. If you're, you know, within a few hours, make a day, go grab some lunch, hit up the store. It's definitely worth it. You know what? If you train jiu-jitsu, hit me up and I'll hook you up for, you know, a free class or open mat at one of our nearby schools out there and have some good training. Or if you want to try a class and then go see Angling Sports and make a day out of it. It's totally worth it. The store is, it's like a Disney World, you know, for anglers. It's awesome. And it's not like a tiny, tiny store. It's a massive store. So it's great. It's really great.
There you go.
That's it. I can't recommend it enough. So, Chris, next time we see each other, we should head up there and
check absolutely. It out. Absolutely. Yeah. I like. As you said, though, you gotta get yourself primed for the damage that's going to be done, and avoid the wife for about, you know, try to avoid her for a couple of days so you can try to break it in how much you spent.
Bring cash or hide the statement. So yeah,
I'm actually due because I've been running the same setup for a long time, and I have a rod that is still in Lac Seul that has never been able to get back to me because of we couldn't travel with it. We couldn't get in the tube. It was a 10-footer. So I couldn't take it back with us. And I've been running the same Shimano for forever, the Tranks. So I think I'm due for a new setup. I love the tracks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dakota's a trolling reel, right? So,
yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I think I'm due for, I wanted to get another Tranks, the 400. I've never used the 400. Maybe it's a bit lighter now for me and a little bit easier on the wrist and shoulder. But I'm really happy with the Tranks so far. It just, for my second setup, I don't know if I'll go for another 500 or go for a 400.
I like getting my hand around the reel. John Anderson, he even uses a 300, and I see the wisdom behind it because when you're reeling, like I like getting my hand around the reel when I'm reeling. And one thing I noticed, like lucky I think I was fishing with Alex or Attila, one of the two guys said to me, you know, something's wrong with your reel seat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And the reel on my rod was shifting, and so I had to do another warranty claim on my Legend, my St. Croix Legend Elite. So I got a brand new Legend Elite rod sitting in my garage right now. They sent, you know, St. Croix is so awesome to do.
Oh, yeah, $50, right? It's $50 and you get
$50.
Yeah.
$50. You know, I'm not happy to spend $50, but, you know, I got a brand new rod now to hit next season with. And so they fixed that all up for me. Props to them. Like I said, they're really great to deal with and worked out really well. So, I'm excited about putting my 400. Yeah.
When the companies take care of you like that. I know you like Costa. I like Costa too, but Maui Jim's amazing. I have Maui Jim's that I've had it for like 10 years, 15 years or whatever, forever. And the frames were just like destroyed, and they have a policy of like $15 for new frames, forever.
Cool.
And as long as you don't replace the glass, like, you know, like they won't replace the glass, but if your frame's destroyed, you just send it to them. $15, you get a whole new, like brand new glasses, new case, everything.
Well, let me tell you, Chris, if things work out the way I hope they will, you're going to be wearing Costas pretty soon. I hate to break it to you.
I have Costas already.
So, yeah, they're a great company too. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm really going after them to sponsor the show because, like I said, maybe Maui Jim's another call if Costa passes, but like we want to work with companies that we believe in so that we're not just pushing garbage to our listeners. So it's important.
But, yeah. And we got two right now.
We got two great ones right now. We've got a third great one coming on in January. Amazing company. And more. I mean, we're talking to so many people right now. So, and our first lodge sponsor will start in January as well. So that's exciting. Not going to say who that is, but you know who that is, right? I told you.
Yeah.
I love that they came on because personally, you know, maybe not giving much away, but like my musky obsession started in this lodge. And so to me, that's really special. So that's all I'm going to say about that. It's not who you think, guys. Everyone's sitting there thinking, oh, I know who it is. I don't think you know who it is, but we'll reveal that in the new year. Really exciting.
So, yeah. So like getting back to that last podcast, I know if you listen to that, like you can tell there's a really reserved tone, like the expectations are there, but there's like that, you know, always that tone before you catch that fish of the trip that that it might not happen. So I don't want to speak like, but I mean the confidence was there. I'm not going to say the confidence wasn't there, but you know, it's much different than having that discussion after those fish are caught, you know, like it's a completely different podcast. So what happened was after that podcast, you guys went out. Like I said, you didn't just meet the expectations. You absolutely smashed them with just like lifetime fish. Amazing, amazing fish pictures. So jealous. So excited for you guys. and yeah, you know, those are the fish that when you see the picture, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I want to be on that boat right now because I know the whole moment of what happens when those fish are caught. And everybody knows who listens to this podcast when those type of fish are caught, what happens on the boat. I don't care how reserved you are.
You want to hear something funny is like the big one, like we got a bunch of big fish, but the biggest one, Attila, like honestly, like we talk about lessons learned and like one of the lessons was like we had nice fish in the boat, but it was the end. We were done.
Yeah.
And it was like like we don't have the fish we want yet. Let's troll in. Let's just troll in. You know, we were a half hour away from our Airbnb. So we troll in and like kind of got our heads down, you know. We're not, you know. And then we're coming up on a shallow area and like this is end of season. We're coming up in a shallow area and Alex says, bring the baits up, you know, half or whatever he said, half or three quarters, whatever. So we bring the baits up, no expectations. We're in a no man's land that we don't target ever. You know, it's not a hot spot. It doesn't look particularly good on a graph. And we bring the lines up and Attila forgets to put the clicker on the outside rod. And we didn't notice anything until a little later, you know, a couple minutes later, Alex is like, what's that noise? And there was like a humming noise in the boat. And we're like, what the fuck? And we look over and the rod is just peeling line. And then Alex, it's just what, and I look at Attila and Alex screams, there's a fish on there. And he just starts losing his mind. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even, almost didn't believe him. And Attila picks up the rod and you can tell the way Attila picks up the rod. He doesn't believe him until he clicks it, you know, he clicks in and starts getting the tension on the rod and we put the boat in neutral and it's just, holy shit. Yeah. There's a fish on here. And then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post the horrifically profanity laden, video clip of us netting this fish and Alex is losing his mind. And, it was one of those things where it just happened so fast. And
like, you know, like wait, losing mind and like risk of losing the fish or losing mind like you guys were so elated and you're just letting it all out or you, like you were worried that something was gonna you were gonna let it go. like something was going to happen.
No, losing his mind at how big the fish was as soon as we got in the basket.
Yeah, okay.
You'll see, he lost it. It's, you know, don't have your kids in the room when you watch this clip. I'm going to actually put a little bit of a disclaimer before the clip because, you know, Chris, when we were doing the intro, that horrible, painful process of us trying to write the intro to the show, the jingle, and I go through, like, I take like an afternoon, I go through all of our fishing samples. I know Alex is listening to this. We laugh about this all the time. But I go through all our fishing samples from the last 10 years. And 80% of them are ruined by Alex just swearing like a pirate. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, I swear too, whatever. But
yeah,
these crazy moments, you know, in the boat, it's just you lose your mind, and but in a good way. And so, I really learned a lesson about after all this podcast talking, all these people, all the fishing we've done. And we think we're such hot shots about identifying spots and all this and that. And this, you know, fish of a lifetime for any one of us listening, that's how big this fish was, is in the area we would never target at this time of year. And it was just like, you know, we're in a shallow area, bring your lines up. And, you know, in five minutes, we're going to break, put them back down. We're just going over this saddle, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of times we think of saddles as maybe I'm using the wrong term, but the deep areas on either side of a hump. This was sort of the hump, you know, if you will. So
yeah, but you're just bringing your line up like out of duty to try to like avoid a hang up or like hitting rocks and stuff. So you're actually, it's just, you're not doing it because you think that there might be something sitting up there, and then sure enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kicker in all this is that, like, okay, bring them up. And when we do that, you sit down and you're like, okay, you kind of count down the times till you can get it back to 18, 19, 20 feet, whatever your sweet spot is. And then lo and behold, madness.
So what was this saddle like? You brought it up to like sub 10?
No, I don't think it was quite that bad. I think that it was, we were in 12 to 15 feet of water. And we were running our baits already, you know, at different depths, but between 15 and 20 feet. And so bring them up by half, then you're bringing your line, you know, you're bringing your line up by half and you're in, you know, your bait's running 7, 8, 9 feet, that sort of thing. So again, I mean, we know fish are everywhere and we know, as John Anderson has told us, some fish stay shallow all year. But we don't often just relentlessly target shallow fish in cold, cold water in late season. So now, again, that changes your calculus. It changes your pattern. But, I mean, I think that fish was probably just up there eating. That's all I can think of. I mean, I don't even know, man.
We don't know, yeah. We have no idea what that fish was doing there. Just pure speculation from any person who tells you. All that matters is that you caught it.
All that matters is that we caught it. And now I think what we're going to do is probably modify that pattern at that time of year and maybe include that shallow zone in revolutions that we're doing or the laps that we're doing in that area. I think we fork out and kiss that zone a little bit and see what happens.
Well, not only that, you know, now that's a pattern that you can add to like a lesson learned. So you know that you can target these saddles or these like these areas that where the elevation changes. As part of your trolling patterns, right?
I guess so. It's just for me and for us, it was never really common practice this time of year. Like we had intended, if you listen to the last two shows live on the scene there on the river, like we had intended on casting only because we had such an anomaly weather. Warm weather, right, that we were going to just see what was going on in the shallower weather. But typically that time of year, when you're on that body of water, it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
And you're not casting and you are, you know, we'll tinker with shallow runs when we do our trolling, but invariably we always end up deeper. So
sure. But now there's no reason why you wouldn't add that because, I mean, if you're getting the fish of a lifetime,
yeah,
as a result of doing that, then why wouldn't you do that more?
Yeah,
right. Like I think it's just logical that you would take a little time on that pattern now to to include those like low or high points in the structure and troll them. But, you know, to your point earlier, like, what was that fish doing there? You never thought it was going to be there. At the end of the day, there's probably another spot where there's a fish of that size sitting that you weren't expecting, and you're going to catch it on another day, and it's going to blow you away again. So who knows, man? It's one of those things that we just keep getting surprised.
Yeah, and the other thing we did was we learned the lessons from last trip where, you know, we were kind of getting down on the spot saying, well, it's not like it used to be. But, you know, after this trip, it's pretty evident that we were the variables that sucked. That last trip, we lost fish. Like, if we had boated, we had 4 strikes, same as this trip, you know, but we lost all those fish last time. And I think all but one. And if we had maybe looked at the hooks we were using, you know, it turned out that we had very stiff rods and very tight drag, and the baits that were running hooks that were like 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 were not standing up to the rigor of that setup, and they were bending and fish were getting off. So we did the 2X heavy duty hooks. We took the stiffest rods out. And you know what? We changed the way that we did our presentation with our gear. You know, we had the chaos rods. We supplemented for the chaos rods we've been using. And we nailed every fish. So, you know what? I think this trip was kind of a look inward for us. And I'm proud about how we learned lessons and applied them and had great success. So, you know what? There's no doubt the fishery we're on is definitely not what it used to be even 5 years ago. I don't think anybody can deny that, but it's not as bad maybe as we thought it was, because I think we made a lot of mistakes last time. We didn't make them this time.
You know, like, the logic there is sound, what you just explained for all of the adjustments you made to the tackle. But at the end of the day, there's always those trips, right? Like, we go out and we get lots of activity at the boat, or fish, spotting fish, getting even strikes, and we can't convert. And, you know, it's not always a function of your hooks aren't sharp or your rod's not the right rod. It is what it is some days, yeah. Right? Like, I think 2 years before that, you had a great session out there, or a great time, like a great day out there in terms of success. So, but what you described there made total sense in terms of how you rigged it up, and it sounded like it was optimal.
Just one caveat to what you said. I agree with that, but usually when you troll, you don't lose fish like that.
Because they kind of hook themselves, yeah.
That's right, yeah, they set the hook themselves. But I think the variable this time was those weaker hooks with the tight, tight, stiff setup that we had was just not a good recipe. But you're right. I mean, it happens. We all lose fish, but... usually it's, you know, I had a strike with you in the boat this year when I lost it. I just wasn't fast enough setting the hook on that fish. But trolling, usually we have really good hookup percentages. So I think moving forward,
yeah,
we're
you're
in
right.
really good
four,
shape.
If you lost 4 on the troll, then yeah, there might have been some sort of a weak link in that setup.
Yeah, I think there was. So, you know, never again. I think we really learned some lessons, and hopefully everyone listening is going to heed what we're saying and not have to go through the pain of, you know, wasting a trip. So, I mean, those 2X heavy-duty hooks were just monsters. So.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and musky shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Angela and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
or you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
So Attila, he turned out to be the star of the trip then, right? Because he boated a few, boated the big one, and I think he was, I'm not sure if he was at my level where he was having a rough season, or but that, you know, all, that must have been, you know, a great reward for him that weekend, what he produced.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's kind of what you went through, but like Attila just can't get out a lot, and started a new job this year. And, you know, he was really bummed that we couldn't fish anywhere near as much or even train together. By the way, to the listeners, that this was just bothering me. I listened to the show where Alex announces him as a purple belt. Attila's a brown belt. He's going to be a black belt really soon. Neither here nor there, but I needed to get that out there. The kids worked really hard. So, but anyways, he just hasn't been on the water. So, I got to tell you, as his buddy, I am happier that he got the fish than that I got the fish. I was so happy to take him out of his world where he's just been busting his ass working, and even getting him on the trip was tough. And, you know, he's got a family, and man, just seeing him catch that fish. And honestly, Chris, even the walleye that we caught.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything kind of worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, it really worked out for him, and he was definitely a star. And you know, you put your kid, you know how it's like, Chris, you get a fish for your kid, or you put your buddy, or like the first fish I ever put someone on as the driver trolling was John Anderson on a 50 incher. So like, it's just as good. It's probably better than getting the fish yourself, especially when it's a good friend like that. Who really needed to take the trip. So super rewarding for me. Yeah, man, it was another thing that just adds to like me talking about, this was the best fishing season of my life. Even honestly, even going back to ice fishing in January of this year, at Sean DeGagne's place, on Nipissing, it was epic. Best trip in 15 years in terms of the quality of the fish. The trip with you, I wish you had gotten more, but the fish just so happened, as they often do, to choose one of us over the other for whatever reason. Killed it on the nip. I had a couple good fish, Unleash the Beast. Nothing crazy, but you know what? Got a nice fish. And got to fish with Matt O'Brien. So it was really a watershed season for me, and I'm super happy. But you know what? It came after a few really tough seasons, right? Yeah. A lot of shitty seasons. So that's just what we do as muskie anglers.
I think in life, everything's like that. You know, you have your ups and downs. This is a high point for you. You had a great season. That's great. Hopefully you continue it next season. But if you don't, you won't be that depressed because of you just look back and think about what a great year you had in 23.
For sure. And I hope hope next season is even better, but I hope we can get you on something and something special. So as soon as we know what that looks like, you and I, let's try to plan our summer next year and do some really special things.
Cool. Yeah. All right, man. So look, I want to ask also about some of the specifics, because we talked about catching the fish and you know, the size of the fish, but like in general, what was the difference other than the rig that you think might have led, like when I say rig, like your setup in terms of the rod, the reel, the line, the hooks, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, did you have any different tactics in terms of depth and presentation? Did you have any different weather impact that you had from the year before? Did you find that I think the weather was pretty good the first day. Did that change? Was there did it coincide with any of the discussions we've had all summer in terms mm-hmm. of small weather shifts that were, yeah. you know, like, or, you know, not only the majors and minors, but small weather shifts that wind changes or whatnot that triggered strikes. Mm-hmm. Did you notice any of that?
There wasn't. No, the only difference really was that this was a crazy year in terms of everything was super warm, right? So you said early at the beginning of the show that we went in with confidence, and when we recorded, we hadn't had super success, but we were confident. Well, we were confident because that first day we caught a fish. It wasn't, you know, it was a beaner. It was a little, you know, 42, 43 incher, nothing to write home about. So we had that confidence of the first day and that kind of swagger, right, where you feel good because you cracked the seal or you popped a cherry or whatever you call it. So we were feeling really confident. But what we did differently, like, this is going to fuck everybody up, because what we did was we kind of went against our intuition, because this was a spot, like you said, years and years ago, we had so much success. But honestly, for a couple back-to-back trips, it really shit the bed for us. And so we had a really good angler, one of the best anglers out there, you know, tell us he didn't want to come on the trip this year because, you know, it sucks. And it was daunting for me because, like, I look up to this guy and it was like, yeah, should we go back? And to be quite honest, we have such a cool setup in this part of the river that we just love hanging out here. And so Alex and I were like, just fuck it. Let's just go see what happens. You know, we had no expectations. We kind of made it even better. And so I think it was that, I don't want to say to the listeners, like, we were persistent and we got rewarded. Because if there's a spot that's beat to shit and anglers are making an impact and it's just not worth going, then maybe that's the answer. But we just kind of didn't want to do anything new this time. We wanted to go back. I just think a part of us was not ready to give up on that spot because we had such an affinity for it and so many great times there that we wanted to breathe life back into the spot. And so it was our stubbornness, our pigheadedness, our selfishness, I think, which is what really brought it home for us this year. Now, this is not a fishing nugget of value for the listeners. It's just, I think it's just what happened, you know?
And there's always the, you know, the chance of a lifetime fish because you're on world-class water. So, you know, that helps, knowing that if things do connect and everything works out, then you could be rewarded with, you know, a life-changing fish, which is drives a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, it does. I think in some ways I was a little disappointed that we kind of pussied out. And, you know, you listen to Lazarus talk and it's like, it's all about the quest to find new water, you know? And I felt like this year we probably should have really tried to be those anglers to get new and explore and go farther and find that new water. And instead we kind of fell back on our own patterns and our old habits. And, so I'm a little, I don't want to say disappointed because, like, look what we did.
Yeah.
So I'm not disappointed, but, you know, by the same token, that trip is going to buy us probably two more seasons in this spot because we were so happy with the results.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to make any of that. I don't have a lesson to the listeners. It's just what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully we'll be doing this again next year and we'll have the same sort of thing to report back. And if you can free some time up in the end of season, then you'll experience it with us. It was just special this year. The weather was really special. Like, it was freaking warm.
I remember, like when I used to do all my fly fishing, October, November, like amazing time, right? The salmon's running, the trout are running, and you go into the rivers and you try to time it with the weather patterns, like when you get the rains and you go in after the rains, because then that stimulates the runs from upstream and stuff. And I remember like just being in the river and everything was working perfectly. Like the weather was great. The fish were running. They were in all the locations. And then you'd go back in the exact same context the next year and you wouldn't see a thing, you know, and you wouldn't be able to catch anything, and you get depressed and you like spend the whole day walking around and you might get one straggler that you hunt down and you try for like 3 hours to get that fish and you don't get it. And then, you know, vice versa, or like the opposite is you can't get them off your line. So I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. There's no lesson there except, you know, just keep putting time on water and you're going to have those ups and downs. And you had an up this year. And I'm, you know, I think that's awesome. Like I saw firsthand the confidence in you on Nipissing. And I'm sure that extended to all your trips. So that had something to do with it for sure. And I've seen the other side where it's a little bit depressed or a little bit down because, you know, there's just nothing's happening. So next year, hopefully you continue this.
Well, yeah, next year I'm hoping it's you, to be honest. I'm hoping you're the one. I mean, look, let's face it. I was confident on Nipissing because I couldn't keep the fish off my hooks. Like, I don't even know what the hell that was all about. And like the worst angler in the world would have been as confident as me during that situation. It was just, that was nuts. But you know what? That's just how it goes. That's just, you said it earlier, peaks and valleys. And we published an episode not too long ago and we actually entitled it that because this is just it. You know, it's feast or famine usually in musky fishing. And we had a lot of feasts this year. And you know what? We know that famine. Yeah, I had famine. Like I was fishing with Josh and Hans yesterday and Friday, 2 days ago. And we didn't get a fish. I mean, we saw some, we marked a bunch, and we didn't get one. I think it's obviously a matter of time before we have success. But, you know, I'm with probably the best muskie guide on Lake Erie. I think he is. And
how are the conditions? Because it can be rough at that time of year.
Oh, Chris, it was freaking...
It's just scary.
Dude, it was like 14 degrees the other day when we were on the water. God. So we posted, okay, so this is gonna air in like a week, this episode. So listeners, if you go to our reels, I don't know if I'll post another reel, but it's one of our last reels, but I posted it today, Chris, and it's me and Josh on the bottom on the floor of Hans's boat. I'm teaching him leg locks. We're doing jiu-jitsu. And Josh is out of his floater suit and in a sweater and a pair of pants. And we have our boots off because we're doing leg locks. And, like, it's hot. Like, it was hot and sunny. And you know what? We could break the monotony of the day by just getting creative and having some fun on the boat. But I'm still kind of bundled up because I was in layers. But he just took his float suit off because it was super warm. So, like, it's crazy. Oh, this has been the warmest season. So we're lucky. It's great out there. And, we've got 5 days left in the season here now. So I'm just kind of eyeballing next week and trying to pick a day. And,
I went out mid fall one time with my family. I was like, I'm going to take, cause like I wanted to go and I said, you know, to the wife and the kids, come with me. And I went on a Sugarloaf.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I got everybody in the car, and there were some winds, but you couldn't really tell because the brake walls and all the structure there. You can't tell you till you get out behind the brake wall, like what it's really like, right? So yeah. I had some spots ready, and I was gonna just like, you know, head over and do some like maybe a couple hours of musky fishing, and we literally got like 10 minutes outside the break wall, and my wife was like, turn this fucking thing around right now.
Yeah.
Like the waves were crazy. My kids were so scared, and I'm like, there's no way I'm doing this with my family. So yeah, that put an end to that adventure. So it wasn't as late as you are now, but it was fall time. So, you know, I know how the water can kick up. In the summer, it can kick up, but at least it's a bit warmer. You can tolerate it. But when the cold winds come, and it sounds like you had a warm day. So, and how were the
Chris,
winds?
The other side of that break wall is tough even on moderate wind, like on minimal wind days. Like that's when you go over that. Like I even like swallow hard when I go on that side, even when it's just me and like a buddy. Yeah. I don't know, Lake Erie, like, I'm not good on big water. I get seasick, and I don't know, something about the Great Lakes, I just have a lot of respect for them. And, you know, whenever we used to fish Sugarloaf, I'm not sure I'm going to be fishing it much anymore, but we fished it for like 3 or 4 years on early opener because it opens before everything else does, right? It opens early June. And we never caught fish in there. Yeah.
The other thing I used to do was go under the Peace Bridge and go in that way. And that's scary too, where you see the water flow come and go. Oh man, my wife told me to turn around again. So,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of diverging undertows and currents.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. Look, I got to put my boat in at the top of the river and scoot over to the harbor. And I'm nervous doing that even. Like, I don't know. It's got to be good conditions. Otherwise, it's not worth it. But, you know, getting back to that break wall. One of the biggest fish I ever seen on Lake Erie was on the other side of that break wall. It was freaking massive. I never caught it, but it was huge. And it takes a lot for me to get out there still. But Sugarloaf's great marina. But I think I'm going to change the way I fish over there. We're going to change next season, early opener, and try to do it better.
So you went out with Hans and Josh. So, I mean, that's pretty good segue to a cracker of an episode coming up. I think we've been working on this for quite a bit, and we've actually individually wanted to talk to everybody who we've already had on the episode individually, but individually tried to get them back on for episodes. And then we thought, why don't we just put the band back together and do a reunion episode? So I think that's going to be an amazing episode to close out 2023. That'll take us through Christmas into the new year. So yeah, I'm super excited. I think the listeners are going to be pumped for this.
Mm-hmm. So for everybody who's not familiar with kind of the historical landscape of, you know, the muskie universe, especially in our neck of the woods here, Chris, is that Red October baits, and I'm sure most of the listeners know, but if you don't, check them out. I don't know their web address, but I mean, just Google Red October Baits or find them on social media. But, you know, they are really well known for making amazing tubes, monster tubes, and they're fish magnets. So, Chris, the only fish I ever caught on Eagle Lake was not with you, not in the trips where we went and busted our ass and casted all these different awesome lures that we have. And, you know, my only Eagle Lake fish came when I was barely educated on musky fishing. Was right when we started the podcast, maybe a little bit before. Were we doing this when I went?
I think it was the year before you went on to Eagle Lake with your cousins.
Yeah.
And then the next year we went and I was on fire and you weren't catching anything that year.
Yeah. So I was there with my cousins, and this is how not serious we were. We did a muskie / walleye trip. So that's not even really a thing. I mean, if you're serious about muskie and you're going to a place like Eagle, you want to spend every second on there looking for that 60 incher. But suffice it to say, we were, you know, just Steve Herbeck showed me where some good walleye were. It wasn't Steve. It was one of the other guides on the map said, go here and catch walleye. And then I found Herbie and I said, hey, look at my map. where should I go for muskie? And he pointed to the walleye spot. And I said, that's where the walleye are. And he looked at me and he nodded his head and he smiled. I'm like, okay. So we go to the spot and we find a stacks of walleye on the graph. I put the marker down and all I'm doing is just going back and forth over the spot while my cousin just slays these walleye. And I'm like, well, if I'm here, I got this tube jig. I drop it down. I'm not even paying attention. I'm really not paying attention because I'm driving the boat. I'm going out. I'm trying to stay on the stack. And like before I know it, I feel this tug on my line. And oh, so, and it was a beautiful, you know, mid-40s fish. And so the only fish I ever caught on that lake was with a monster tube with a Red October. And since then, it's our staple on the Niagara River. We're always dragging tubes. After the early season, we're always dragging, or in the early season, we're always dragging tubes there.
We've caught kind fish of developed doing that. There, yeah.
Yeah, that technique was developed there by these guys, right? So you have, excuse me, you have kind of the Mount Rushmore of Niagara fishing, and you know, don't let it fool you. You know, Hans is a guide. He guides on the Larry as well. He guides in different spots. Like these guys are super amazing anglers, and not just with tubes, but Hans makes amazing crankbaits. And if anybody wants to see what the biggest muskie we think is that's come out of Lake Erie, it's the one that Hans caught last year. You can see it on his social media. But that was caught on his crankbait. And it was funny, Chris, because yesterday we're trolling and we're just using his lures. That's it. His crankbaits. Yeah. They're all his crankbaits.
Yeah.
And you might think, you know, why aren't we mixing it up? Why don't we have any other brand of crankbaits on there? And it's evident within seconds. It's evident when you get on that boat. These guys know what the hell they're doing, and these guys catch a lot of fish, and this is how they do it, period. So not only that, but they have methods and techniques that I've never seen before.
Well, it's another case for when you're with the local expert, you just follow their lead, right? Like you can, obviously you can put in your input, or like whatever input you have, but you just follow, like you don't want to second guess them because they're experts there. They're producing every day or every time they're on the water. And like you said, that I don't know if you're going to explain what happened, but and then last year, epic fish. So, I mean, they obviously know what they're doing out there.
I think I'm going to save it for what Hans is comfortable talking about when we interview them. And plus, it gives us something to talk about. And if he wants to go down that road, we can. But like, if I had, I feel stupid for asking them. I fished with them twice this year. And the first time I was like, hey, should I bring my rod? You know, do I bring any baits? And it's just like, I mean, they are, that his system is so dialed in and it's so like awesome gear. And cool tricks that he's got with his setup. And this is the difference between an ace top tier muskie angler and guide. And even a guy like myself, like I'm nothing special, but you know, 6 years of interviewing the best muskie anglers on the planet, you tend to learn a few things, but these guys are just honestly, man, from their setup to the way they understand the graph and the way the fish are behaving on the graph and identifying what those fish are. It's so impressive. And even Hans even said to me on our first trip, he said, you know, and he said it again this trip, he goes, big female walleyes behave just like big female muskies. They're the same. And sure enough, at the end of our first trip together, we hauled in a giant walleye and it was ironic. And I laughed and it's like, okay, you know, maybe Hans got lucky. But look what happened at the Larry when we were there. What did we do? We hooked up the biggest walleye I ever seen in my life. And, you know, when that happened, I just chuckled to myself. But, you know, and Chris, we're always saying get a guide, but it's true. Like, you're going to learn so much with these guys. And you know what, guys, if you want to go.
I mean, if you happen to know people in the area, like, you don't always have to pay for a guide if you. But at least you reach out to the community in the area, people who are fishing the waters you want to fish. Mm-hmm. And as we've always talked about, like muskie community is more than happy to extend a hand and help you and, you know, like give you some advice. But the best thing you can do when you go to these waters that you've never fished before is talk to people who spend their life fishing there. Like you adapt to what, what your techniques to how to theirs, because they're successful because they've been doing it. They know what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So like if the perfect example is how you and I were fishing our tubes and then how we were fishing them after we talked to those guys, completely different. And it's not like I'm going to say to them, hey, I caught like, 2000 bass fishing my sweep method or whatever. And walleye this way, why would I change that? Because I know it works. I'm like, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, you know what? Obviously, you know what you're doing. You've adapted the whole rigging system for this type of technique. I'm using it because you're the expert. So as you said, we talk to all these people and, you know, what we learn is that a lot of them are just from the area they fish. They adapt these techniques. They might contradict what happens in Eagle Lake. Or somewhere else, or there might be a parallel, but it might contradict what another expert says. But in those particular waters or the particular area you fish, it's working, and you have to adapt to what, you know, from their experience.
I tell you, I mean, look, even remember the day we spent with Mike Parker on Lake St. Clair?
Yep.
The way he worked his Shadzilla, that technique, I still do it. It's my favorite technique. I've actually been told not to do it by good anglers. And there's actually a good reason. And to the listeners, I'm talking about, you know, Mike was sweeping his Shadzilla, right? So big, long pulls. And a really good angler that I respect said, you know, you don't want that strike to happen at the end of that pull. You don't have a lot of room to set the hook. And that makes a lot of sense. But I like sweeping the lure. I love feeling the rapid thump of that tail when I'm in the big, you know, big sweep. And then when I literally
got my fish on the paws of that sweep. So,
okay. That's where I was going. Right. So on the paws, when I was fishing a couple summers ago, I got probably the nicest fish I've ever caught. Maybe, you know, top three fish I ever caught in that moment. And when you're paused and then you gear up for a big sweep and there's a lunker on, man, that is such a cool feeling. Right. So,
yeah.
You know what? You're right. Listen to what these guys, like Mike Parker's a stud. You listen to what he says when he talks. And Hans, like if you are looking to go and fish Lake Erie, like get on his boat. He's very honest about Lake Erie, guys. It's tough. It's tough because there's low density. There's not a lot of muskies. And you know what? The odds that you might not catch are pretty high. But the odds that if you're going to catch this time of year, that's going to be a giant fish are also pretty high. And you know what? I think as musky anglers, we're okay with that. You know? So. I just think it's worth it, you know?
We'll ask him that directly next episode.
Yeah, and I don't want to be evasive, but what I'm talking about, I'll clear it with him before. And if he wants to talk about that method, we can. Because, you know, you can talk to a guide all you want, but when they're in their element doing their thing and you know, you're helping them with their setups, you just pick up on a lot of things. And one of the things I find too, Chris, is that like every great guide, and I'm not talking about the guides, I'm talking about every great guide, the Matt O'Briens of the world, the Mike Parkers, the Hans, these guys all do things just a little different from each other. And that is just from being battle tested for years in their element. And it's fucking impressive.
Ben Beattie. Ben Beattie,
of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, what can we say about that? I mean, Ben is just great. And just, I'll never stop thinking about how he adapted. You know, I could even, as good as these guys are, you pick up on the stress in their voice. We knew Ben was stressed. He was kind of stressed like we were, and he put the decision to the group, which is again a sign of a great leader. A great leader will defer to the group and make the judgment call based on the wisdom of the crowd, as we say in artificial intelligence, the wisdom of the crowd or the wisdom of the group, or as a guy like Josh Ketcher would say, your swarm. Going to your group and good leaders know to solicit that advice. It helps them to lead. Ben was so good at that. And even Matt, when I was in Matt O'Brien's boat, you know, he was stressed because it was Unleash the Beast, and I'm sure he felt pressure because he was fishing with me and we were going to talk about it, you know, and he said at the beginning of the third day, I've never, ever gone 3 days this season without a muskie. And you know what? He was just in his mode, and he got us. He got us. Todd and I got us both fish. I think he caught one too. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he did. But you know what? He stepped up that third day, and we crushed it. So again, another reason to get a guide. Yeah, we say that all the time. But like the when you drill down on why you want to fish with these guides, and why you want to like go to different lakes and do it is you're going to learn so much. Being on the boat with these guys, you're going to pick up little things. It's going to give you little ideas, and it's freaking awesome. Can't recommend it enough. And Nico too. Like we can't not have a guy like Nico in that discussion. You know, look what he did for us this year.
It just makes for such a great experience. And
yeah,
you know, we've said it so many times on this podcast. It's like, don't think of it as a cost. Think of it as an investment. To your fishing education, your fishing art, your experience, your arsenal. Like you said, you pick up on so many things, and that's just going to stay with you. So you're going to learn from that. And then one day you feel that confidence to go and do it on your own. But it's like even the camaraderie and the just the social aspect is so much fun with these guys. So, I'm glad we keep doing it. It makes for a better trip.
And you know what? It helps when you're with a guide that you like. You know, we love Ben, and we've spent some hours with Ben and Josh and Hans. Josh is like a brother to me. And I love Hans, and you know, we have the same sense of humor, and you know, it's just easy. Nico, like, is there a more laid back, easier guy to get along with on the planet than Nico? It really helps when you're in those long sessions and your character and your determination is being tested. It helps to like the people that you're in the boat with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the last thing you want, Chris, is for it to get negative, and you know, so that's just not what this is all about. Yeah.
Positive vibes, eh?
PMA. When you get in Nico's boat, he's got that thing, PMA or GTFO.
Yeah.
Good
Lots
vibes.
Lots of PMA. Only.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap this up and get ready for our next episode, which will be dropping right after this one. And then what do you think after that? We'll probably go to a year-end review. We can probably, you know, highlight some of the key moments throughout the year, especially for listeners who haven't listened. We can pick apart some of the great episodes, and then they can pick up on that and go back and listen. Because we have a few great ones. We have a lot of great ones this year.
You know what, Chris? Maybe we should circle back with. Maybe we should earmark one of those great episodes and maybe take a call from one of those past great guests and see how they're doing. Just some food for thought there.
Sure.
Yeah, that'll be a great episode. And but like you said, next two episodes after this will probably be. I would imagine we're going to do a two-parter with the Red October Boys, because I'm actually going to go to Buffalo and sit with them. So it's going to be a lively affair. And then we'll do the year in review, and then I got something big teed up for next year. I haven't heard back from the guest yet, but I will stay up his arse until he can.
We have a few anymore. Actually. There's a guy out east that I'm excited to talk to.
Okay.
So
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, that's gonna be great. Yeah. So.
Anything else?
I think happy holidays, Merry Christmas to our listeners, Happy New Year, I think. Or can we do that? No, we can do that on the next one too.
We can do that on the next one.
And other than that, you know what? Our numbers are off the hook. So if you have a musky business, if you're a lodge, bait maker, anything of any size, hit us up. And Chris, we had a 700% increase in our Spotify engagements last month, which is crazy. And I would assume that our 100,000 impressions a month number has grown since October. So you know what? To our listeners, to our sponsors, what we're going to start doing is this show will be sponsoring this network, our podcast, Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network, will be sponsoring the getting there portion of the Fishing Canada TV show. Why is this important if you're a sponsor? Because our album cover, our artwork, is going to be on national TV, viewed in front of 3.5 million viewers that watch that great, epic, iconic Canadian institutional TV show every weekend. And so what if you're a sponsor of our show, you're paying podcast rates and getting national TV exposure. So I think the value proposition for the show is amazing. It would be on its own because our numbers are getting so high, but you add that national TV element.
Yeah.
It's huge. And I don't want, you know, the bait makers that we love and the smaller businesses that make the muskie industry so, wonderful. I don't want you smaller businesses to think that this isn't something you can be a part of. You can. We have packages for the biggest businesses and the smallest businesses.
Yeah.
Hit us up on social media. And you know what? We're going to see in the coming episodes so many sponsors come on board. And it's wonderful.
So you want to change the – should we change the cover art so we can have our faces more prominent for – 3.5 million people to see?
Chris. That you took my favorite fishing picture of all time, so I think we should leave it as is. That is just, I just love that picture. It's our favorite place, right? That was on Sewell, right? That one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, come here. It was my, sorry, my daughter's here. Say hi, Margo. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
All right. So I'm going to say it's.
Hi, Margo.
It's our favorite spot. It's one of the favorite moments, right? The golden hour. It's just, that's a special picture to me. So we're going to have to take another special one this summer if we go up to Sunset Country. And
I'm just saying, if you want to, you know, showcase your face a little bit, let me know. We'll change the art. We'll change it for you. Okay.
I got a big, hole in, stitches scar under my eye right now. So nobody wants to see that. I'm getting patched up by the doctors at the moment. So, with that being said, Chris,
can't weave on that.
It's just the hazards of the job. It's nothing exciting. Yeah. I get hit and kicked and need an elbow for a living. So
collision,
no big
yeah.
deal.
Yeah, I had a collision once, training, a head collision that put us both in the hospital. I know
the feeling. Oh my God.
Yeah. Right at the eye corners, you know, the right at the eye, it's just automatically.
Yeah,
split.
Yeah, yeah.
Automatic split, yeah.
All right,
so we'll catch you in next week.
Yes, and signing off. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
The Ugly Pike Podcast.
How did a small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. Learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along, trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently, you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and musky shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox Angler's Paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.